everyone. My name is Michael Glasser, and you're here for high security and access control. Is that what everybody's here for?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so?
Good. Everybody in the right room? Great. I came here today to give a basic overview of high security locks and access control electronics, with the main idea that everyone here probably has a question about something they've seen. I'm going to show some new things that I guarantee you haven't seen, or hope you haven't seen, some are prison devices. And I've seen other lockpicking talks where they go into a lot of detail about the functional parts of locks, so I'm here for a general overview because there's no way I can cover every lock out there. So if anyone has a question at any time, throw a hand in the air, I'll answer it, and if it's too technical, I'll tell you to go something. So let's get started. This is my ammo box. Army Navy stores are great. They really work well, too. Waterproof. First thing, if anyone went to the lockpicking talk, this would be, I wish I had a camera here so everyone could see very much closer. Unfortunately, I don't. So anyone who wants to look, go like this. And it'll work better. This is a basic cylinder. Everybody has one in the door somewhere, in their office, in their car somewhere. There's a cylinder. The key goes in, it turns, everybody's happy. And if anyone went to the lockpicking talk before, they understand how pins ride up and down and have shear lines. And if anyone doesn't understand that, play along. Because going into details of that would take me 20 minutes to explain something very basic. Not to question anybody, but that's just not what I'm here for today. So that's a basic pin tumbler, just pins. Now I'm going to go into something a little bit more bigger. Okay, this is more bigger. Little, not so little. See, they're different. Now, this is a Folder Adams pin tumbler cylinder. It's very large. If you look in the keyway, that's the part where the key goes in. If you look in the keyway, you can see there are ball bearings, because that way the key rolls in and out. It's also more pick resistant and a few other things I'm not going to go into details of. But there's a very specific purpose for the cylinder. Has anyone here ever seen the cylinder before? Well, raise your hand if you have. Anybody? You have? What's it out of? What's it out of? Where did you see the cylinder? See, it's hard, isn't it? I hope you don't remember. Anybody else? What's it out of? Very good. It's a prison door. This is a Folger Adams detention cylinder. If any of you guys know what this is, except for him, stay away from my room. And that's what this is. This is what you go into most prisons in the United States. You'll see something like this. You're probably not going to be able to get your hands on these unless you know somebody, because they're very much controlled so that people don't get information about them and don't play with them. If you can, more power to you, but it's really hard to get these. It just so happens I sell them, so it was easy to borrow one for a day. Let's go to something else. This is a piece of brass. This is a Nabob cylinder. Nabob is an Israeli company. And any of you ever heard of multi-lock? Right, everybody say, yeah, oh, good, all those hands. Multi-lock uses a pin-in-pin system where on a normal cylinder, you would have a pin with another pin on top of it, and when the shear line meets, it separates. In a multi-lock, you have a pin that's hollow with another pin inside of it, so that there's actually two pins that go up and down. Now, both shear lines have to match, which makes it a bitch to pick. They say it's pick resistant. I know a guy who picks them in like 30 seconds. I suck. It takes me like 5 minutes. But most people cannot and probably will not be able to ever pick those. Nabob came out and said, hey, multi-lock's patent's up. Screw them. Let's make the same thing. So Nabob, same exact thing as multi-lock with different name on it. So if everyone comes across Nabob and they go, oh, this is new. This is great. No, it's not. It's multi-lock from 10 years ago when the patent ran out. So that's Nabob. We'll get a little bit more electronical after I just go through the basic high security locks out there. This is what's called an ASA twin cylinder. Like, I really wish I had this camera right now. But anyway, so this is what's called an ASA twin cylinder. The way an ASA twin works, now ASA is the name of the company, ASA Abloy, is the company that makes it. And a twin, because unlike a normal cylinder where it has one set of cuts, if you looked very closely at this, you would see actually a set of cuts on top and a set of cuts on the side. Now what that means is it's a bitch to pick. It's that simple. Why? Because you have to pick the top and you have to pick the side. The side, rather than being pins that sit on top, are pins that have a little finger that rides along the side of it. So it's very, very hard to pick. It's one of the hardest out there. I know guys who can do it. I personally can't. I've tried and have not been successful. It is pickable. As they're all locks, it's a bitch, though. That's the ASA twin. It's a very good lock. This is a fichet. If you can see the key from that direction, it's kind of funny looking. It's actually got four sets of things. What are them called? Pins. Four sets of pins in there. And it's a bitch to cut. It's a bitch to pick because it just has a lot of it. It's supposed to be super high security, so my answer is get a drill and you drill it. But you didn't hear that from me. It works. When you're going to break into somewhere, you're probably not going to pick the lock unless you work for the government. And I'm sure somebody here works for the government, and they say, yeah, burglars don't break in that way. Burglars break the window or they kick in the door. So if you want real security, you go out and you get like a Fox Police lock with huge bars across the door, or you put a couch in front of the door, something like that. A lock isn't going to keep somebody really determined out. I'm a volunteer fireman in New Jersey, and if I want to get into your door and my tools aren't working, I take my chainsaw and cut around the lock, and I just open the door. So yes, it can be done, as hard as it might seem. Some people in the front are laughing. If people are in the back aren't laughing, tell me why. I must be doing something wrong. Come on. I'm a social person here. This is called Miwa. Miwa, if you look at the key, don't look like very much because it has magnets in the sides. Now, instead of physically moving the pins back and forth, you use magnetism, which I'm sure everybody knows, positive, negative, you know, sucky, sucky kind of thing. Everybody knows. You can zook, poof, if you put it the other way. And it just uses it that if the magnets are in the right direction, it moves the pin to the right place. If they're in the right place, the lock will open. It's called Miwa. It's from Japan. They've actually just, Miwa America was just taken over by Miwa Japan again because they weren't doing too well at selling them. So you probably have never seen this, and if you have, then more power to you. The keys are easily made. You just take a magnet and you pound it in here with a hammer. That's how you make your key, literally. Take the little magnet and you put it on there, and you go pop, and either it's positive or negative. Some of them are positive, negative, or sideways, because then you have the positive on one side, negative, and I guess you guys can figure that out. Read right ahead, blah, blah, blah. How pickable are they? If you can get a magnet, let's move this sideways. If you can get a magnet that small in there, very easily. I designed a device, which I haven't had anybody engineer for me, and any of you guys are real good micro-engineers, call me, where it would just simply be the same exact thing as a key with a couple little reed heads to read the magnetism, positive, negative, or sideways, and then just go out and make my key with my little hammer, and done. Beat it in 10 seconds. Or just invert the polarity, and really quickly done. This is Sargent Standard Cylinder. Sargent's a good brand. Competitor of mine at work, but they're still a good brand. I got a whole box of shit. This is what happens if you take a lock apart and forget to put the right tool in there. It kind of falls apart and you get a big hole in the middle. That's crap. Ah! This is crap too, but it's more expensive crap. This is a concept high security lock. I have never seen these before, except I went to a friend's shop the other day. And I went, what the hell is that on your shelf? He's like, oh, I found this at the garage sale for $5. So I bought it. It's just three sets of pill and tumblers. The only reason the key has four is because it looks cooler. And it's sharp. You can stab somebody with this thing. It's really sharp. And it's just three sets of pill and tumblers. Concept is generally known for making their jimmy-proof locks, which if anybody of you ever been to New York, I don't know if they have them out here. I'm from that area. It looks like there's almost three teeth. And when you close the door, there's another thing with three teeth. It goes clunk, and a bolt goes down. That's a jimmy-proof or a slam drop bolt. Or there's a whole bunch of names for them. Concept's known for those because they make them, and they work well, and they're pretty. But they also happen to make this thing, which I found and thought was really cool. Because I didn't have one. Now I do. And you don't. What's this? This is an old Corbin jumbo cylinder. If you look at a normal size cylinder, it's just a little bit bigger. There were multiple reasons for this. One, it gave you more Master King possibilities. If anyone knows about Master King, you're actually just adding more pins on top. It just makes life easier when you have more room to play with. So you have more combinations. It also was good because once you drilled out a hole in the door and you messed it up because you got drunk the night before and you kind of turned your drill sideways and left the mark, you drill out a bigger hole and you put a jumbo cylinder into the lock and then you cover up your hole. But don't ever mess up and don't drink before working with power tools. It really sucks. But if anybody wants to buy me a drink while I'm up here, I'd be happy to take it. This is your Denny. Your Denny is another dimple key system, much like the multi-lock, but the multi-lock has the pin-in-pin. This is just a standard dimple key. There's pins on top that, if you look at the key, it looks almost flat. They used to call them computer keys. They used to call them all kinds of things. It's just the pins are right on top of the key rather than being on the edge of the key. Very high security, hard to pick, impossible to pick. So you take one, then you cut all the depth, the deepest they can possibly go, and then you can impression it, if you know what impressioning is, real quick. But basically what happens is you would take this key and you have different depths of the dimples where you just cut them all extra deep. Take a piece of tin foil or silver tape, tape it across the top. Put it in there and start wiggling. Locks naturally want to work. So the tinfoil kind of starts to dent and dent and dent until it gets to the right spot and your lock opens. I know a guy, Barry, who I met at the H2K conference. I was on a panel with him there. He could do that in about 15 seconds to most dimple locks. And I just looked at him and went, shit. I didn't know that. Now I know, because I never even thought of doing it that way. But hey, he's pretty damn good. I would plug his website, but I don't know off the top of my head. I look for Barry the Key Wells somewhere. He's smart. Lockpicking.nl. Who said that? Thank you, guy over there. Was I good over there? I didn't suck. I had a huge ass lock. I had a multi-lock that was this big, but to take it out on the plane with me would have been a bitch. As was any of my electronics, because anything with flashy lights and buttons on a plane, it really, really pisses them off. I mean, they already, when I went on the plane, I went dressed like this. Normally, I'm going to look like a biker. But I dressed like this on the planes and for speeches. And I went on, they searched my shoes, they checked my pants, they checked my... Come on, I look like this. I should have dressed like a biker that would let me through with my guns and knives and shit. Okay, that's everything out of that box. So, that was my quick high-security lock part. Does anybody have any questions on any locks they have in the house or anything? Oh, where the hell's Medico? Did I cover Medico? Somebody stole my Medico locks. Actually, no, I must give them away or something. Yes, sir. Okay, well, we'll get to those in 1 second. I'm going to cover my call. I'll get right to that, though. The BMW Sidewinder or laser cut keys. If anybody's seen... 1 second. If anybody's seen... what is that? Gone in 60 Seconds, where he's talking about these laser cut impossible to break keys. The laser cut has nothing to do with it. It's the transponder in there, which... We'll get into all that in 1 second. Medico first. Medico is probably the most popular high-security lock in the United States. I think it's one of the greatest. It's a competitor of mine, but I still think it's a damn good lock. I'm supposed to be here talking about the Kaaba Pyramid Lock, but my boss forgot to give me one, so I can't talk about it too much. That's a damn good lock, too. It's a dimple key system. Now, the Medico lock works in a very, very unique way. The pins that normally come up and down, up and down, up and down, still go up and down, up and down, up and down. But if you look at the tip of it, instead of being round, it's cut into like almost a slot. It's called a chisel point, because it looks like a chisel. Now, this has to turn either center, left, or right, which makes it a real bitch to pick. I know very few people who can possibly do it. Some claim they can do it every time because there's a little wire that can go in and feel around the corner. But it doesn't work on the new one. They fixed that problem. Hey, a photograph. Cool. Now, Medico, I think, is a very good lock. I wish I had one to show you guys, but I messed up and don't have one. That's where I'll leave that. But I'm sure you can find one around. They're very popular. Now, let's see. First, we talk BMW. Then we get to your... What was your question? Round locks you see on phones and common lock boxes. You mean where it looks like a tubular thing, like a vending machine? Is that what you mean? Okay, I'll cover his first because yours is a little bit harder. Tubular locks. Instead of having the... Right, the guy who was here before, he had one with him. Is he still around somewhere? Yeah, still around somewhere. He did this early in lock picking. Tubular locks work in the same concept, only a different functional way. Instead of having the pins all in a straight line in, they're in a circle. And they work the same way, the same shear line. It's just like each one has its individual shear line. And all you do is you put it in, you're pushing all those pins in, and when they get to the shear line, it turns. It's a very simple concept, but they're very easily beaten if poorly designed. Because if the manufacturer doesn't build it extremely well, you can impression it, which I was talking about with these, really quickly. Same concept as a dimple key. They have a special tool for it that has a bunch of little metal fingers that go in there, and with the proper tool, you can impression those in 10 seconds, real quick, get it open, and it works just like a normal key. So you go up to a vending machine, and I want a Coke. Doop! Open, 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 take your Coke out, put it back, doop, 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 lock it again, and then leave the 50 cents in the bottom saying, thanks for the Coke. And never steal, it's not nice. I'm serious, no, I don't steal. And what else? The Sidewinder type keys. I'm sure if any of you have ever seen a new Volkswagen or BMW, any expensive keys, where it doesn't look like there are cuts in the end, it looks like this kind of Sidewinder-y thingy-looking thing, that's the key he's talking about. The way that works is just like any other key. It's just a different way of doing it. Now, the reason why it's hard to pick is because it's really hard to get your picks in there to work the wafers properly. But there's this guy named Randy Mize. He's a little southern guy with like two teeth. And he works for a company called Lockmasters. He's a real nice guy also. One day he was at a car dealership, and he was a locksmith who went to open a locked car. And it was a BMW, which is deadlocked electronically, which for reasons I'm not going to get into, you can't open with standard tools because it relocks itself and all kinds of other bullshit that's real bad. And, well, it is. It sucks when you have to open one. I know a ways to it. Oh, shh, don't tell. And so he decides he's just going to make, he wants to open it up. And the BMW dealership calls up headquarters and tells him, we got a lock, I locked out, we have a locksmith here. What's the easiest way to get it open? And the BMW guy goes, well, fucking locksmith smart enough to open this car. And Randy gets so pissed off, he starts flipping out. What the fuck you mean? I can't open this. He starts, in the biggest southern drawl you ever heard, starts screaming and yelling. And he goes out there and he looks with a pair of binoculars and reads the key by sight. And he goes, takes his hand file and cuts the key by hand, opens the door, says, fuck you to the dealer, and goes back and invents a lockpick for it. So, after he's all pissed off, he goes back to shopping. It's called the Flip Pick. Lockmaster sells it. There's also a European version, which is, I do not know if the European version is a copy of his or not, or if they made it their own, so I don't want to question that. I don't know if they made their own or just copied it. I know he invented his. He didn't see it anywhere else. So he made this thing, and he stick it in, and it feels it out, and it popped right open. You can pick these BMWs in like 10 seconds if you're good, right away. Really easy to learn, really easy to do, and so fuck them. However, the transponder, which I mentioned before, is a little electronic computery thingy, which I'm sure you guys heard of electronic computery thingies. And it's in the head of the key with a hidden serial number. And you can read off the transponder, you can clone it that way. But without the transponder number, to beat the computer is a real bitch. I personally don't know very many easy ways to bypass the computer. You can't brute force it. They have timeouts on that. After 3 false keys, it goes 10-minute delay, shit like that. Standard brute force stuff. And it's a bitch. If you guys figure it out, call me up and we'll party. But it's a real bitch to beat the transponder system. Easiest way is to throw it on the back of a tow truck and drive the car away. That'll steal almost any car. Okay, what else? Okay, so I'm out of all this good lock stuff, unless anybody wants to learn about safe locks, but that's hard to learn, you know, public viewing without any good stuff behind me. What is behind me? I think they had a screen here before. Hand up. What's up? Electric lock picks. Okay, we'll go into, we didn't want to be on lock picking, but I'll give a real quick overview. When you're picking a lock, you're just trying to get all the shear lines to match. If anyone doesn't know what that is, the next 10 seconds of what I'm about to say is nothing to you guys. Next step up would be a pick gun, which forcibly takes, is basically like pool balls. When you go play pool, if you hit the first cue ball, the next ball moves and the cue ball stays where it is, if you hit it real tight. So what it does is it hits this bottom pin, the top pin shoots up and leaves a hole in the middle. So you shoot up and you turn real quick. Now electric lock picks, it just takes a vibrator and extracts the back of a lock pick. Because it goes, it does it really fast, faster than my hand can do it. It's the same concept. It smacks it and the other pin jumps up. So really quickly you can get into most places. On these locks, it generally will not work. These are high security pick resistant bullshit, you know. And I can't pick most of these. I'm not that good at picking locks. I don't claim to be. I know the theory behind it. But blah, 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 good shit. Lock picks, electric lock picks are good shit if you want to get in somewhere quick. It takes no talent, no skill, very little talent, very little skill, but you can do it. Talk to me. Computer design picks. What they are basically rake picks. I'll get to you in 1 second, guy in the back. If I forget, raise your hand again, I'm dumb. Computer design picks take the most commonly designed patterns of lock setups and put them onto a pick, and then you kind of wiggle the thing and rock it back and forth, and you get lucky. That's what computer picks are. All you're doing is getting lucky because they're designed to most common ways to, the most common patterns. Because most locks are not going to, there's certain tolerances you will not have. 1-1-1-1-1-1 pin depths all across, because you take a thing and you go in and it opens. There's certain patterns that they try to follow in certain spacing. So computer picks are just the most common spacing in things. Guy in the back of the yellow shirt. Marlock? I'm not familiar with it. That sounds to me like some kind of electronic access control device I do not know about. If you tell me the name later, I'll write it down and I'll know for you tomorrow. I'll email you. Yes. What about? We're not up to that yet. That's the electronic access part. Thank you, though. At this point, I'm still talking physical keys and locks and things that you can break with a hammer real easy. What's up? Mushroom pins are still completely used. All that does is make it harder to pick. Instead of having a smooth, a cylindrical, basically a can, like if you buy a can of soup, a smooth part, they take it and they cut a notch into it around the bottom edge so that when you go up there, it feels like a false movement and it makes it harder to pick. Mushroom pins are still commonly used in tons of things. American padlocks, Yale still uses them, all kinds of good stuff. Anybody else? Oh, sure. In the front and then you in the back. Simplex locks, next part. I'm actually a manufacturer's rep for them. The other guy in the company is. I work for the same company, though. Next. Control blank distribution. To me, getting a key isn't hard. To you, getting a restricted key should be a real bitch. What I mean by restricted keys is, you go out to the store, you have a quick set key, you go to Home Depot, you say, give me a copy, and they say, sure. What happens when you have a business where you have employees and you don't want everybody making copies for the friends so they can come rob you? Or you don't trust your sister, so you give her a key once and you want it back, you know she doesn't make any copies. You go with a restricted key system. Everybody has one in their wallet where it says best do not duplicate or ace do not duplicate. So you go out to the Home Depot guy and you say do not duplicate and you wipe it off with your thumb and he does it anyway. That's not really restricted. That was restricted like 15 years ago. Medico has restricted. ASA has restricted. There's all kinds of different restricted. The easiest way to do this, to explain it, is basically that there's different... I'm fucking this up pretty bad. I'm repeating myself here. This card systems is the first one. Let's go with medical card systems. You have a key. If you want a copy of your key, you come with basically a credit card. They swipe. It sends the information down to Medico. Medico sends back the key cards, and they can do it. To get those key blanks, you have to be signed up with Medico as a medical authorized dealer, signing a whole non-cheating contract. You won't give away the keys, etc. ASA has the same kind of setup. A lot of other companies have the same kind of setup. You can't get the keys unless you're special. There's government-issued keyways. Medico's government-issued keyways. I personally still can't get. But then again, you go out and you take some liquid pewter and you take your thumb and you push it against. You see a little imprint of it and you push it down and you can make your own keys real quick just by impressioning the shape of the keyway. Use Play-Doh. Hell. Impression the shape of the keyway. Impression into some sand. Pour in some pewter and you got yourself a key. That defeats pretty much every key control method out there. However, don't do that because that's not very nice. I'm sorry for messing up the whole restricted key access thing. It's an easy concept to explain, but I'm not drunk enough yet. Anyway, anybody else with lock type questions? In the back of the orange shirt. Okay, master key systems. We've been much better explained by the lock picking guy. Real quick though, how am I out of time? Maybe I have a watch? Everybody has a watch. 40 minutes. Wow, cool. We have lots of time. Last time I did this, I ran out like early. Okay, master key system. You have a pin. Now, anyone who's, if this is over your head, I apologize. I won't be long. You have a pin. You have a top pin. When they come together, the lock don't move. When they come apart, at the shear line, it moves nice. Everybody's happy. Grand, great, lock works. All a master key is you throw another pin in the middle. So you have multiple shear lines. By throwing another pin in the middle, now you can move either down here or up here. By doing that, you have multiple options, so different keys can work the same lock. Now, there's all kinds of standard issue master locksmith bullshit about how different master key system works. You have the AA, the BB, then the master, the grandmaster, the super grandmaster, all kinds of shit. Basically, if you have a master key, it's going to work. Master key is going to work more than one lock. All the locks in the building are going to work in the same master key, so that the janitor doesn't have a huge ring on his belt. If the janitor has a huge ring on his belt, get a new locksmith. That's it. If you need more info about... One second. If you need more info about master keys, come talk to me after. Buy me a drink. I love people who buy me drinks. I'll tell you anything you want to know about locks. You and then you. I'm sorry. You and then you. Yes. Pick him first. You forgot your question. No problem. You and then nobody. Mathematical algorithms that figure shit out that I hate doing, so I have a computer program to do it for me. Basically, you have six pins or so. So you put different combinations where different keys will work different heights, and by putting different master chips in, you can get amazing. I can work myself a system where I'll have one key that'll work 10 different locks, a different key that'll work 5 out of those 10 different locks, a different key that'll work 2 out of those 10 different locks, and a different key that'll work 1 out of those 10 different locks. It's all math and computers and great shit. Go on the internet and you can find Master King very basically, and there's programs out there for it. And I can teach you the algorithm for it if I remember it, which I don't. It's very, very basic mathematical calculations. Yes, over there. Many, 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 many. And you can even put in more than two pins. I've done master key systems like, if any of you have ever heard of IC Core, just one second. IC Core, where it's that best key that's kind of got the square head that says do not dupe, that everybody dupes anyway. Those are usually IC Core, which is interchangeable core keys. Those have the regular pin, then usually a master pin, then usually a change key pin, then a top pin, then a spring, then a cover plate, and then you put it in the lock. So it can be a lot of freaking pins. That's why I talked about the Corbin Jumbo, which is just more room for more pins for better master key systems. Yes? Much, much easier to pick. Much, much easier to pick master keys. I should have mentioned that. Thank you. Okay, wafers. Wafers are the same concept of moving up and down to a shear line, but as a rule, they're much easier to pick simply because the tolerances are less specific. In a wafer lock, instead of having a pin that goes up and down, you have a flat piece of metal that's shaped with a little cut in the middle. You put your key in, it moves the wafer either down or up. And the top and bottom have to line up with the outside edge, of the cylinder, and then match the shear line. That's a wafer. They're usually a lot easier to pick. I'd suggest learning not on them because they give you a false sense of gratification. And then you turn around and try to pick your house lock, no, and you're all disappointed. If you're going to learn how to pick a lock, go to a locksmith. You can't tell him why because they usually won't do it. But if he's a cool guy, you can. Ask him, oh, you rock. I like you. Holy shit. Come on, do you know how to pick locks at all? You ever practiced picking before?
Actually, after watching you and Barry, I contacted a party I found online. I said I was a bona fide locksmith. They sent me this whole cool pick kit and a little testing and learning kit, so I've been having a blast.
Wait, you're a criminal. You said you're a bona fide locksmith and you're not.
Actually, a bona fide locksmith, according to the statute, is anyone who picks locks for any legitimate reason. Education.
Cheers to that. That's a pretty cool guy. I like him. Hey, have you practiced picking at all?
Yeah.
Come on up. You have any picks with you? Don't worry, I'm horrible at picking locks. Don't worry. I bought this new pick kit yesterday because my last job as a locksmith before I turned into a suit and tie guy, which I generally refer to as a suit and tie asshole, my last job as a locksmith, I had to go unlock this lady's door. 100-year-old, million-year-old lady, she locked herself out. Shit happens. So I go there, I show up, it's a cheap quick set knob, I pick in like 5 seconds, put my tools down, say I'll be right back, going to get my bill pad. She says, fine, I'll watch your stuff. Okay. So I show back up, she's inside, taking a piss, my tools are gone, my picks are gone, I went, ah, fuck me. So now I just bought a new pick set. Here you go, play. What's going to be pickable? Not that one. You want to try to pick the prison lock? You ain't going to get it.
Give me your shittiest lock.
Shittiest lock.
I can three pin, no problem. Four pin, I get stuck. And five pin, I usually get nowhere.
Well, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, I'm not. Do you remember when H2K...
Yeah, pick the one with the hole in it.
2 weeks ago, man.
No, that's cool. That's cool. I've been doing this since I was really, really, really young. Yeah, play. Just don't break my shit. It sucks because some people go in there and the biggest point of lock picking, which I don't want this to be on lock picking, but hey, why not? The biggest thing with lock picking is most people put too much tension on the tension wrench, which I'm not going to get into what a tension wrench is or what lock picks are, but basically they bend the shit out of my tools when I let them try the first time. So don't do that.
No.
Cool, thank you.
Because you bind the pins too much, you end up not getting any.
All kinds of good shit, bad shit happens. How do we turn that mic? Is that mic on too? Yeah, turn that on in case you want to say something good.
I don't want these people to hear my dumbass comments.
Man. Okay, good. Hold on, I see your hand up. No way, stereo, stop clapping. It takes too goddamn long. Hey, you're laughing, okay, though. Yes. No. I just learned about this last week, so I'm going to talk about this and be excited. Because I went out to a job where the construction key wasn't working, and I went, uh-oh. So I showed up, and I went, this sucks. The guy built it wrong. It was actually a manufacturer's error from somebody's line. I'm not going to mention whose.
Not mine.
The way master construction keys work is they, instead of taking a master chip, they add in a little ball bearing in the place of the master chip. Now, that ball bearing works just like a pin or anything else until you put in the master key. Oh, I'm sorry, the construction change key, construction remove key, I don't remember the name of it. No, it's not a normal house key. It looks just like any other key, it's just set up to a different combination. By being at that different combination, when you turn it, that construction master ball bearing is just below the shear line, so it's the first pin. Now you turn to the right, or the left for that matter, and you see a little hole in the top usually. Now, you can see that ball bearing. The proper way is you turn it all the way around, and when it gets to the bottom, there's a hole drilled, and it just falls out the bottom. And once it falls out, it's not going to work anymore because there's no pin in there. And it's too small for the regular pin to fall out, but the ball bearing falls out and it won't work anymore. That's how construction master key works. As soon as you take the key out, it stops working from that point on. However, in the job I went to, they forgot to drill the hole in the bottom, so I had a hell of a time fixing all those locks. So I'm sitting there like 75 lock. God damn it. Pull the thing apart, dump it out. Anyway, anybody else with lock questions? You get it yet?
No.
Why not? Come on, be cool. Oh, you are cool. You bought me a beer.
Why don't you work on this one while I work on
okay.
This?
Okay. Hey, give me a tension wrench and a pick. And give me a, yeah, that would do.
What do you want, a rake or a...
Yeah, no, give me a diamond head. Like the little folky thingy. I don't like that one. Hold on, I'm getting my toys. I just bought this Pixie yesterday. I don't have them all organized like I like them yet. Oh, by the way, I really suck picking locks, so don't make fun of me. Now, what are we up to? Anybody else want any lock questions? We're going to go electronic now. Okay, one last lock question, we're going to go electronics. Last lock question in the middle of the white shirt. Okay, office furniture locks, what they have in the back is usually a wafer that goes too high, and that holds the lock in place. Now what you do is you take an extra long key usually, it has a little notch on the tip, and you stick it in, it just pulls that wafer down, and it lets you pull out the whole plug. And if you're really good, you don't even pick the lock, you just take a big stick in the back and pull down the wafer and pull the whole lock out. So talk to me, people. What do you want to know about electronics? Oh, no, we're on the lock. Okay, last one, real quick. Padlock shims. That's a good fucking question. I didn't want to talk about that though. I talked to somebody about that at lunch.
There's a Schaumer Tech as well.
Yeah, those where? Did they have one
on? For like $5 a set.
Okay. Good. Padlock shims. How many people here went to high school? Cool. How many people had that shitty master combination lock on the locker? How many people can open them in under a second? Then you're the cool people here. Reason why is, picture in the padlock. Well, I got padlocks here, but you can't really see too well. You have the shackly, you have a shackly thingy. That's the part that goes down. It goes in the hole, and what happens is there's a little spring-loaded piece here. And when it goes in the hole, it goes past and then locks into a channel. This is spring-loaded with a notch on top so that once it locks in, it can't move, but it has to push this back somehow so there's a bevel on it. So it locks in. So you take a padlock shim. You go in next to the shackle, and you push down. Since it has a bevel on it, it just kind of pushes the spring piece back, and suddenly your lock's open. You just take a 3.5-inch floppy drive, and you rip off the little guard on the front of the disk, and you bend it into a little piece, and kind of round shit, and you stick it in, and it goes pop, and you open up all those things in about 1 second, and you go, wow, I'm cool. It's great. That will work on many, many padlocks. There are some that have mechanical connections that will not let you do that. Those are more gooder. Definitely more gooder. I like those better. They're also more expensive usually and all that good shit. So we're going to talk about electronics. Yeah, electronics, electrons. Yay. Golly, golly, gee, golly, golly, gee. Okay. Why is there access control? Because somebody wanted to make money. That's it. Master key systems were working fine, but they're vulnerable. Go into access control. You have card systems. You have pins with combination keypads. You have biometric fingerprint ID, retinal scan, hand geometry. You got all kinds of good shit out there. Voice print. Now, you come up to a door. I'm going to just use real-life examples, because everybody here has probably been to at least one office where somebody walked up with a card and went, boop, and the door opened. What that usually is going to be a couple different technologies. The first one I'll go over will be MagStripe, because everybody's got an ATM card or a credit card or a hotel room key, as somebody mentioned before. And what that is just, if you ever had a VCR tape, it's the same shit. It's just magnetically encoded information on a little piece of film. Hey, cool, if I hit this, it makes a thump. That's fine. So it's just magnetically encoded information on a piece of film. What happens then is it sends a little serial number or ID code out. Where does it go? To this box sitting in some back room called a control panel. So you have this reader, this card. Card goes a reader. Reader sends signal. Signal goes control panel. Control panel goes, who the fuck is this? Looks at this little Microsoft Access database and goes, hey, look, we found Bob, number 1234. He's allowed to come in from 5 to 9. And right now it's 4:30, so fuck him. He's not coming in. And it doesn't open the door. Or it says, look, it's 6 o'clock, Bob's allowed in, okay. Or it says, I don't know what 5349 is, so let's deny him access. Access granted or access denied are your usual options. If you have other options, you're pretty cool. either doors are going to open or doors not. I control a lot of things with access control. I personally am the access control guy in my company. I also do CCTV and all kinds of other good... I've done alarm systems. I'm licensed for it in New York State, but I don't, I'm not good at it. I don't like it. Just pulling wires through attics and crawl spaces. Until you get up to the high-end shit, and that's cool. Question, sure.
What are some of the other options?
Other options for access control. I ain't there yet. Hold up. Now, that was Magstripe. Proximity cards. Proximity cards are the ones where you just walk up, touch it, and keep walking. It's also a smart card, but let's not get into that. Walk up, just touch it, and keep walking. The way that works is by shit that I don't understand. It's a wire in a circle with a little chip in the middle, and it's got radio technology, and engineers explain it, and I didn't design it. What's up?
I can tell you how that works.
Are you an engineer?
I'm not the engineer, but I know it well.
I know. I've played with it a lot. I know how it works. I just can't describe it well enough to teach it.
I can describe it.
But that's going to be a lot of details, and these people here are going to go, huh?
No.
Okay, describe it real quick. Come on.
Okay,
come on up. Nobody can hear you otherwise. Clap, everybody. Good. You talk, I'll pick.
All right.
Don't drink my beer.
Okay, basically what you got is you got a big coil in there.
I knew that.
Okay. The sensor emanates a field, and when you put it near there, the field is causes induction in the coil and powers the chip. The chip says, oh, I'm awake. Okay, let me start talking. It starts jabbering. And they talk back and forth as a result. And
what does it say?
Says, let me in, damn it.
Really? In what language?
Depends on what I've been drinking.
See, I like it. That's cool.
The same technology used in automated toll booth system?
No, that's different. That's different. I'll spend that minute. Okay, so that's proximity. Thank you, dude. What's your name? Wait, what's your name? You're going to be famous. What's your name?
Rob.
Rob what? Ah, come on. I gave my little name. What's your nick? What do you go by? Rogue? Shoten. I don't know what the hell that means. Okay, well, anyway. Cool guy, Rob, with the long hair. Buy him drinks. Okay. Oh, she's going to interview now. She's cute, too. Wow, look at that. I want that next. Can I have a hug, too? Great. Everybody hold up. Community hug. Everybody hold up. Everybody come on, clap for her. Come on, give me a hug.
I love you.
Come visit me. Please. I love you. You are a godless. Anyway, yeah, I'm used to hacker conventions where there's like one girl for every 3,000 guys. So I come to DEF CON, I'm kind of cool. It's like there's actual female population. And no girls get offended by this. They're not arm candy here. It's great. Because in New York where I am, a lot of them are just there with guys. And here I come here and girls are teaching me shit I've never even heard about before. I'm like, wow, cool. Anyway, anybody who got offended by that took it totally wrong, so don't. Okay, what are we up to? Proximity. Let's go to smart cards, because Isaac, if anybody knows Isaac, probably a lot of people do. Isaac taught me a lot about smart cards, but he was wrong, so I made fun of him. But he taught me a lot about, there's conventional smart cards, and I investigated, and there's new wireless smart cards, which is very different technology. Because anyone who's ever seen, let's pull the shit out. These are my H2K badges, because I'm cool. I went there, too. Okay, this was a smart card looks like on the front. If you look real closely, the shiny thing would be contact points for it to connect to. They also have new wireless ones now. On the back, you see a magstripe. They just did this to look cool. There was nothing on either of them. But I programmed mine to work in my hotel room because I want to be really cool. And, yeah, so anyway, what else can I talk about? Hold on, I got to drink beer. Beer makes you smarter. Or at least makes you think you're smarter. Okay, what were we talking about? Anybody? Anybody know? I don't remember. Electronics, oh yeah, cool. Mr. Electron runs from negative to positive. Okay, so that was basic proximity. That was basic smart cards. Smart cards are smarter than proximity. Proximity cards have a serial number embedded into them. They transmit when they connect, and they just send their serial number across. Very basic and shit. Smart cards now can have onboard computer chips, so that when they power up, by connecting those contacts or wirelessly by inductance. When they power up, they can actually do processing and all kinds of good shit. You can store memory on them. You can store fingerprints on them. You can store faces on them. You can store anything you possibly want on these smart cards. They have different capacities. They're great. I love them. I love selling them. Anybody wants to buy one, talk to me. I'd be happy to sell it to you. Hey, Bobcat's in the back. Wave to me. I just noticed him. He really hates it when I do that. Anyway, so that's smart card. That's proximity, magstripe. There's another one called Wiegand out there. Now, Wiegand confuses people because there's two things that Mr. Dr. Wiegand invented. Well, there's a lot of things, but there's two popular ones. There's the Wiegand protocol, which is what a lot of access control devices use. There's ABA, which is American Bankers Association, and Wiegand protocols. Those are the two popular access control protocols. It also goes over IRS 45 and 232, but that's all kinds of other bullshit. I talk really fast in case you haven't noticed. Also, Wiegand invented a kind of card. This card is great. I love the way it works. It's ridiculously easy to beat, but I love the way it works. It basically takes a piece of metal. Pick it. You rock. You picked it. Wait, clean my shit up before going back. Clean my shit up before going back. Come on, you picked it. Clean it up. He's cool, though. He bought me a beer. He rocks. Anyway, so, no, thank you. So Wiegand basically takes a metal piece, thin metal, and makes an image, a shape, or a square, or a circle, a perfect shape, and then you stick it next to a little x-ray machine type thingy. Well, actually, it slides in, and it shoots Mr. Electron down through it, and it takes basically a photograph of that image, compares it to its database, and sees that it's the same. So how do you beat it? You sneak into the hospital, go up to the x-ray machine and hold it up, then you can see, or you see right through it, or you take a bright light and you can see right through it sometimes, and you take a piece of tinfoil and glue it to a piece of paper and you cut out the same shape and you stick it in the hole and shit. Oops, I just beat the whole system. But that only works if you do it right, and there's all kinds of other bullshit that keeps you from doing it. But anyway, I still haven't picked this. I feel nerdy. Okay, so what else are we going to do? That's Wiegand. Let's talk protocols a little bit. The Wiegand protocol basically just sends a serial number. Same with ADA. But some way has to be between communicating from the reader to the control panel. And that's the Wiegand protocol generally. There are other protocols. Now, there's a lot of things you can do with access control besides just controlling doors. You can set up different security levels, as I'm sure some people here know about. You can set up different time zones so people can go in from 9 to 5, 10 to 6. You can set up one-time users. Use your card once, it stops working. That's great for if you want to hire someone to go fix your bathroom. You give them a card, you say you go in once. After that, you can't go back in. There's 100 reasons for it. There's great, great things. Now, does anybody have any questions? Because I'm sure there's going to be a few on electronic stuff. Easy pass. Easy pass. 1 second. Hey, question in the back. What was that? Moss Hamilton X08. My company is a manufacturer's rep for Moss Ham. I haven't gotten around to reading the literature yet. Unless I'm wrong, what is that? Which is that? The padlock? No, that's the X02. Oh, that's the electronic safe dial. Oh, that's the safe dial you're talking about, right? Okay, I've done a lot with Moss Ham safe dials, but I was always tired and screwing them on doors and busy. Moss Hamilton has a very creative idea for safe dials, which I'm not going to get into safes, but real quick, they actually have a generator built in, so when you turn the outside of the dial, it creates electricity by turning with this thing called stuff, and makes electricity, and once it does that, it powers up the lock and goes beep, and you punch in your little code, and that's one way. I don't know if that's the X08, I'm really not sure off the top of my head. I don't know those locks that well. But now that you create electricity, most of them are battery operated, or you have to plug in something. That's my Sam. Okay, who wants to talk biometrics? Nobody. Fuck you guys.
I do.
Okay, yeah? No? Okay, anybody have any questions? You have a question? The EasyPass question, I'm sorry. Okay, EasyPass is more gooder than proximity. Because what EasyPass is actually has a little battery in there, but they don't tell you that. And if you crack it open, it messes the thing up. EasyPass is a basic transducer system. I mean, if I'm using the wrong word, somebody points it out and tell me I'm looking like an idiot. But EasyPass is a very basic transducer system. It's got an antenna. It's got an EasyPass. It goes under. It says, hey, yo, I'm here. Serial number. And the reader goes, okay. So, well, okay, you're out of money. That's the EasyPass. They're almost all the same. Yes, sir.
How
would
you defeat a
magstripe block? With a hammer. Magstripe is a very, very, I consider it a good technology. The easiest way is, all you have to do is get your hand on somebody's card and you can copy it real quick with the proper technology. But to actually defeat a magstripe block, there are magstripe picks per se. I personally don't really believe in them because what they do is they try to brute force the magstripe and you have to have the right protocol and everything. And if you wrote your software right, which I guess somebody here has probably programmed, you could just make it stop after like 3 tries. Yes, over there. EasyPass only transmits when it goes near. It gets hit by a signal and says, yo, what's up? And sends it up. I forgot which transmitter would be great for tracking you. Don't you think? What? I do not. I'm not familiar with fast track. It's probably the same thing. They're almost all the same. Is that like, it's out around here. You put in your car and you drive through a toll booth. Yeah, they're almost all the same. Yes. I don't know. Read the back of it. He asked what frequency it is. I don't know. What the fuck do I know? I got one sitting on my top of my car. If you want to come back to my house in New Jersey, you can come look at it. Stick a frequency counter next to it. How am I on time? 20 minutes. Is anybody getting bored yet? You want to do some other cool shit? Okay, who's getting bored? Everybody raise your hand if you're bored, and I'm going to throw you all out. Okay. Juggle? I'm not good at that. I'll drop it on my foot and break my toes. Then you have to carry me home. Biometrics. Okay. Fingerprint, retinal, or body geometry, hand geometry? What do you want to talk about? Retinal. No. What do you want? How do you defeat hand geometry readers? Stick your hand in it. Cut the guy's hand off. Stick it in the hole. Okay. You, real quick.
With his question.
Huh? Okay. Yes. Lasers, it burns your fingers off. Ah! And shiny metal. What this is doing is it's... We'll do hand geometry first because it's very basic technology. Before we do retinal, we'll get to retinal in a second. It's just harder to explain unless you're an optometrist, which I'm not. Okay, hand geometry. You have a hand. It's your hand. Nobody else has the same hand. You stick it in this reader. You're punching your code. Once you punch your code in, it goes and checks its database and says, this guy's hand should look like this. Why does it do that? Because it's hard to identify anyone's hand. So it says, this guy's hand should look like this. If it doesn't look like that, it goes shit. If it does look that, it goes good. It measures point to point, knuckle to knuckle, knuckle to another knuckle, tip to knuckle, thumb to pinky, the thickness of fingers. It's random, samples random points. I personally don't like them. One, because they look like a toaster on the wall, because it's huge. Come on, laugh. That was funny. Wasn't it? Thank you, fuckers. Jeez. At least I have a little bit. I'm not... What? Thank you. I mean, you're not even supposed to curse these things. There could be underage. Anybody underage here? I'm sorry if you are. Are you really? How old are you? You're 16? Well, should I watch my language? Okay, thank you. I don't know. I'm going to jail. I don't know. What's the legal age for cursing in this state? Okay, so I don't, where was I? What? Oh, hand toasters. That's where we were. So it looks like a freaking toaster stacked on your wall. So I usually like to go with a small device. Everybody write this one down because you can smell my, buy my shit. Bioscript. It's B-I-O-S-C-R-Y-P-T. Instead of IPT. And it's good stuff. It's fingerprint readers. Everybody's... No, not everybody. A lot of people here probably thought it was cool to go out and buy that compact mouse with the fingerprint reader in it. So everybody wanted to spend $100 now. You're neat because you have this computer security thing where you put your finger on it and it's going... And you kick it in. That sample's about 15 points off your finger, makes a map of those points, stores it in its database in pairs. My reader, because mine is more gooder, instead of sampling points on your finger, sample the swirls. Sample shapes, because if you put your finger sideways, or you get a cut, it deletes points, but those shapes are still there. If you cut a circle in half, you can still tell it's a circle. It just doesn't, it just has a cut down the middle. So mine samples 340 shapes off your finger. Their sample's 15 points. Mine's 340. Mine's more gooder. However, you can turn down the security threshold if you have a problem. I've only ever had one problem with the reader, the Bioscript reader. And this was actually last week, and I'm so pissed still about it. I haven't solved the problem yet. There's this lovely gentleman who happens to be the CEO of a huge company. His entire company works, except for him. And there's over 500 people in this company, so screw me. And he puts his finger on. If you look at his finger real close, he has tons and tons of cracks in his finger. And because of the cracks, it's taking those cracks as shapes because he has tons of them. They're not cuts. Like, if you cut your finger, it'll still work. If you draw ink on your finger, it'll still work. He has tons of cracks from age in his finger. And it's the only time I've ever seen it work. I've solved it with 90-year-olds. I've solved it with 100-year-olds. I've solved it with... on Park Ave, I have a building where on Packer Ave in New York, I'm sure people have heard of it, where they have a bathroom... not a bathroom, a... gym in the basement, and all these old men like to come watch the girls exercise, and then they don't want to have to carry keys, so they walk downstairs, put their finger on it. But the older you get, your fingers start to get cracked and wrinkled, and also you lose, in my reader, it uses conductivity of your finger instead of capacitance, so that it actually uses your finger's moisture content to conduct to see if there's a finger there. The old men's fingers get so dry and so cracked they won't even read it, so they tell them to lick their finger and stick it on there, and it works. Yes, sir.
So basically,
breathing on and getting the fog.
Okay. What he says is a lot of these can be breathed on and you go into the thing and leaves a little mark on there from where the fingerprint was from the grease in your finger. And a lot of them will go, oh, look, the same mark. Boop, and open. There's also the old gummy bear trick, which everybody's heard of on the internet, where you take a gummy bear and you push it against there and it reads the oils, and then you can put it back on, and it looks just the same, and it works. That won't work on mine. Screw you guys. We tried it really, really hard. We couldn't get it to false. What else? Biometrics. Any questions about biometrics? Face recognition. Same concept as hand recognition. It's not that intelligent stuff. It just measures point to point, point to point, point to point, and measures your face. Retinal scan, I think, is cool. I don't sell any of those products. I'm hoping to bring one on soon. Retinal scan scans your retina. I'm not an optometrist, but I've looked at pictures of this stuff. First off, your finger can get cut off. If your eye gets cut off, it's going to be a little bit harder. Plus, your finger gets scraped. Your fingers get dirty. You wear gloves in winter. You don't want to take your glove off for a biometric reader. Retinal scans, you walk up and you go like this. And it reads your eye. It reads the guts of your eye, basically. I'm not an optometrist. As I said, I don't know what guts of your eye. It reads the retina, but your retina is very specific to you. Doesn't really change. If you die, it won't work because your pupil dilates and fucks it up the whole thing, from what I understand. But retinal scan is a very great technology because your eye doesn't get scratched, your eye doesn't change, you always have your eye with you. You can't exactly falsify an eyeball without cutting it out like in that James Bond movie or whatever it was, GoldenEye, I think. I don't know. What's up? Talk to me. Active view color contacts and changing the retina. I have heard of it. It did not work. Somebody got really drunk and tried it. He was an optometrist who decided to design that. He went over to an engineer buddy of his and tried it, and they couldn't get it to pass. I do not sell the one. I wish I did. There are good ones out there. I don't know any names. First you, and then you, and then farther back. It's a little louder. I know nothing about that. I do not know. I don't know enough about eyes to answer that question. He asked if people with cataracts would be a problem. I do not know the answer. 1 second. You first. That's a damn good question. Smoking weed. I don't do that. But I know other people do. Believe me, I know. If someone was to smoke a whole shitload of weed, their pupil would dilate not to the point of being dead. If you die from weed, you're just fucking lame. Realistically, your pupils should not dilate enough that that'll be a problem. I've never worked with the stuff personally hands-on. I've installed one of them, I think, but I've never sold the stuff. I've never seen the tech specs on it. Extremely possible. You in 1 second. There was a guy over here first. I don't know who it was, but he's over there somewhere. There. Okay, he says the retina is using the blood vessels on the back of your eye for a pattern. I know nothing about eyes. Sounds like a good idea to me. Sounds true. I believe him. Why doesn't it work on dead people? Because your eye gets fucked up when you die. You're dead. 1 second. She's first. Wherever she was. You forgot your question? Come on, what was your question? Yep. The optometrist is supposed to shit to dilate your pupils? No, because of that shit he just told me about reading the back of the eye. Oh, that's a good question. Would have been good if you had said that. I wouldn't have known the answer. Wait, because he asked first. Yes. If you can get to it, just short the two wires on it. The box behind the reader. Okay. I'm going to give away the industry's biggest secret. Everybody write this one down. Come on. It's cool. I gave away at the last comment. It was like, ah! It lasted for half an hour. Everybody's going to walk up to a door and see a keypad. It's going to say nothing. It's going to have a bunch of numbers on it, three little LEDs on the top. And you're going to look at it and go, I wonder if I could rip this off the wall and short the two wires in the back. So you can take your little screwdriver and unscrew it off the single gang box and look in the back. There's a relay there. Short those wires and you're opening the door. I'd say about 80% of the locksmiths out there, nothing against locksmiths. I was a locksmith for a lot of years. I have great respect. But a lot of them, a lot, not all, do not know much about electronics. And they don't know that having a relay on the back is insecure. So if you unscrew it off the wall and you short those two wires, you can get into like 80% of the doors out there with that kind of keypad. You guys didn't laugh. Everybody else did at the other con. Oh, screw you guys. Yes, right over there. You're next, and then you. Yes.
What about iris scan?
I don't know anything about it. I can't answer that question. Probably the same concept. Yeah. Probably the same concept as a retinal scan. I don't know enough about eyeballs. I got one here. That's about all I know. You, and did I miss anybody? I missed somebody over here. 1 second. Yes, you. Mechanical locks? Okay, sure. Oh, the simplex push-button locks. In the simplex push-button lock, we'll get back to electronics and biometrics in 1 second. Simplex push-button locks, there's a whole bunch of little wheels inside, and there's a cut in it. Every time you push the button, any button, all the wheels turn one time. Depending on which button you push, that wheel turns two times. So what you do is you go in there, you hit a button. You push a number one turns two clicks, all the other wheels turn one click. Push number three, number one turns one click, number three turns two clicks, and all the other wheels turn one click. Now by doing that, it's simply turning them all until all the slots line up. Once the slots line up, you turn the handle, the bar goes in. If the bar doesn't go in, the little piece on the inside goes up, and it doesn't unlock the door. If the bar goes in, the little piece on the inside goes down, the door unlocks. Very, very simple technology, very good. There's a new Ilco 5000 series coming out, which has an enter button on it, where you push your code and hit enter and then open the lock. Same concept, just looks sleeker. There's somebody over here, right?
Yeah.
Talk to me. Okay, I know what he's talking about. It's really cool shit. It scans the way your brain works and the densities of your brain and the electrical shit and the whoop. It's that's way over my head. And I'll talk to a neurologist about it. How am I on time, anybody? I'm fine. I'm not asking you. That's cool. I don't want to go over you. Kick my ass, I know. Okay, so talk to me. Anybody else with questions? There's a guy in a yellow shirt with a hand up. They put those in the Times Square? Wow. New facial recognition in Times Square. No, but well, next week. Oh, okay. I have heard about this. This is a very Big Brother-esque technology. What they're doing is they're taking facial recognition once... You know a lot about this, or?
I don't know about it.
You know something about it? Come on up. We love her. Everybody clap! Grab a mic.
It's actually anybody who wants to do research on this. They actually are already using this in London. So if you want to go to London, at the entrances, all the entrances to London, they have face recognition that checks every single face that comes into London. If you're a criminal, it automatically sets an alarm that goes off and lets them know that this person has entered the city. Like the concept behind it is that if you're a criminal and you're in the city, okay, we can't do much about it. If you leave the city and you come back, now we know. And this is the same thing that they're putting into Times Square
now.
They hacked
your soul. Sunglasses and that kind of shit don't affect facial recognition very much. Well, he's raising a hand a whole lot, so I'm going to ask, yeah, what do you want? Okay. That's cool. Well, let me get that over the microphone because you can't hear. 1 second for you. Am I on time or are you just... Yes, what does that...
In London.
Yeah, go for it. Grab the mic.
In London, that's talking about that system, but you can get past it, and there's already a system in New York to get past it. It's some routing software that'll route you through New York City. It'll tell you where you can go where there are no cameras. Really great system. Of course, going to Times Square, you can't.
Yeah. Or if you're real, one more second, I'm sorry. If you're really cool, you go out and you find off the internet, I know somebody here who has them, you get a Kevin Mitnick mask and you stick it on your face. And then you're really cool and you get all kinds of fucked. Okay, yes, because you're waving your hand like crazy. What's up?
I saw a show on that, and they had a guy, they put on the computer so they could recognize him, and then he went ahead and just popped sunglasses off and,
sunglasses, a fake beard, a fake mustache, a big hat, and weird ears, and yes, you will get past it if you have all that shit on you. If you just put sunglasses and a fake beard on, then they have shitty software. Then they have shitty software, tell them to write some better.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I heard when I was researching about the London is that if you're able to change your face or cover more than 35 to 50% of your face, that then it's much more difficult for them to recognize who you are. So, like, people had on a big hat that covers, like, enough of their face with their eyes, and then they put on a mustache or something, and they can't get enough points on your face. So, yeah, but then you also really look like you're trying to hide, so.
Oh, by the way, before he walks away, everybody clap for the DEF CON goons. They're doing a great job. Tommy, I love you. Oh, give me a hug. Okay, wait, nobody here ever gets my card. She's getting one. Wait, sit down. No hugs. No. Yes, guy in the middle. And then you. I'm sorry. You, then you, then you. Blunt trauma to the face. If you're willing to smack yourself in the face with a hammer to get around this shit, screw you. Come on. You're worth it. You, then you, then you. Yes, you.
Who makes the random-ass brain scanning?
Random-ass brain scanning. I have no idea whatsoever. There was a guy over there who was talking about it. You know the name of the random-ass brain scanning?
No, I saw it on TLC.
TLC, the Learning Channel makes it. The Learning Channel makes everything. Guy in the front. Cool guy with long hair.
They're using facial recognition from casinos now.
Yeah. Facial recognition in the casinos?
Yeah, Tampa too.
No going to casinos anymore in Las Vegas forever and ever, according to him. The guy over there who had his hand up.
If the false positive and or positive negative rates aren't so high, that you just add like 5 times with the somehow like LAX with 9 times.
False positive and false negatives are really a big problem, according to him and him and him and him and him and him and him. I don't know very much about the facial recognition's false positive negative rate. My fingerprint rate is really good, though. Who are we up to? Yes, dude over there. We're running out of time, so real fast.
I know how the casino ones that they're doing in Las Vegas for, it measures the distance between your eyes.
Measuring distance between your eyes is a very common technology. However, a lot of people confess because of that. They say it's impossible, no one's exact. Fuck you. It happens. Anybody else? Or how am I on time? No, camera dude, you're in charge. How am I on time?
3 minutes.
3 minutes! Cool. Everybody start counting. Who else you got? Everybody's walking out. Don't leave me early, I miss you. Okay. Guy over there with the beard. Can you use a gel coating on your finger to defeat the thumbprint reader?
No.
Some, yes. The gummy bear trick, I mentioned that before. The gummy bear trick works on some readers, not on mine. We tried it more. I know one way that there's some guy out of Germany that uses Japan. He uses a circuit board printer to print the traces. I can trace the fingerprint exactly. I heard that works, but I'm not sure. Guy in the back, then guy on the side. Guy in the back. Louder. The way that works is generally that all they do is they check it and then they output a signal. So what they do is the facial recognition will be all in board, and then if it says okay, it'll output a weekend signal or output an ABA signal. Same with my biometric reader, reads the finger, checks it against its own internal database, then outputs the weekend signal. The whole database is something I don't know about. I'm assuming it's all irises. It's all computer algorithms, actually. I really don't know too much about. I think guy in the yellow shirt was next. Tricking my fingerprint reader, hitting with a hammer, and knocking it off the wall is the way to do a denial of service attack. Otherwise, you go in the back room, and you short the two wires on the control panel in the locked room behind the armed guard. My fingerprint reader is pretty good. It's rated number one in the U.S. I think the world, but I'm not sure, so I can't say it. It's a damn good reader. I don't sell to this area, so nobody here is going to make me money, but I'm being honest, it's a damn good reader. I only sell in New York, New Jersey. So if anybody here wants to buy it there, come on over. Yes, guy on the floor. Is there any good way to fake out the solenoid? By solenoid, you mean electric lock or mag lock or any other device like that, I understand. Take a pokey wire and a pokey wire and you stick it over the top of the door and you go poop really closely. Or you pop the drop ceiling tile. If you have a drop ceiling, you get up on a ladder and you pop the tile and you reach down and you go beep. That works too. Regularly, I've heard that if you pump like, I think it was like 476 megahertz into it or like 500 watts, it'll fuck up some of that stuff real bad. I'm not sure about the details of it. Go over there. Yes. According to a fire code, when you have a mag lock on the door, you have to have a request exit device. Actually, a redundant request exit device, such as a push button and a motion detector. But she's saying, I'm out of time. Real quick, a motion detector, what you do is you walk up to the door, the motion detector sees you, lets you out. Or you hit the button, and that lets you out. The reason for the button is in case the motion detector doesn't work. We're out of time. Have a lovely evening, everybody. Welcome to DEF CON.